Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Associate Pastor Henry Coates. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, in the Old Testament section of our Red Bibles on page 890. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Micah 5, verse 2. You, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
So today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. If you've been worshiping with us this past couple of weeks, you'll have hopefully noticed that we light Advent candles near the start of our service. With this, we as a church mark that we are in a waiting period, reflecting on the coming of Christ, praying, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, come." Each Sunday in Advent has a different theme: hope, joy, love, and peace. Today is Peace Sunday. That's also the last Sunday before Christmas. Soon, we will celebrate the birth of the Messiah, the Word of God become flesh who dwells among us. Soon, but not yet. Today, we are still in Advent, so close to the coming of the King that we can feel it, see it, or better yet, Him in our bones and in our souls. But not yet. Today, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we think about what it all means that God has decided to reveal Himself to us as our peace. Now, Pastor Ray launched our Advent series by noting that in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus, with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, soon after Jesus had been risen by God from the dead, showed those disciples all the ways that the Old Testament pointed to Jesus, witnessed to Jesus, and the power of God working in him and through him. So we have been going through some of the Old Testament scriptures that point to Jesus, showing how the Holy Spirit uses the Bible in all its parts to direct us to the Savior. Today our passage is from the book of Micah. Micah was a prophet of God, speaking in a time of great conflict, of great fear and anxiety, who spoke the words of God to provide comfort, but to also give warning of the coming judgment. Few Christians read Micah nowadays, and if they know anything about it, they know Micah 6, 8. God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah tells us pretty straightforwardly what God wants: justice, mercy, humbleness. So strange to 2018 ears, huh? He also says, woe to those who act otherwise. Don't blame me, it's in the Bible, guys. Our passage isn't Micah 6:8, but Micah 5:2-5. In it, the prophet singles out a small backwater town named Bethlehem, which up to this point had one major claim to fame. Centuries before, the greatest king of Israel, David, had been born there. But when Micah was writing, Bethlehem was an insignificant place. Now, when I was growing up, the joke in my church out in New Jersey was that Bethlehem was a place like Peoria, a place supposedly in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by corn. Well, now that I live in Illinois, Peoria isn't this great unknown anymore, but I still think it is surrounded by corn. Yet out of this little town of Bethlehem, unexpectedly, according to Micah, will come this great ruler. He won't come on a silent night, but after a time that Micah compares to a woman in labor, which I hear is very rarely a quiet affair. Yet this ruler will come, we are promised. And like a shepherd who cares for his flock, he will tend to God's people, care for them, watch over them, protect them in the strength of the Lord, according to the scripture. And his reign will last forever and ever and will cover all the ends of the earth. And in verse 5, Micah tells us that he will be our peace. He will be our peace. Now, peace sometimes seems like a far-off reality, huh? Peace sometimes feels that it's not real. It's a dream world thing. How many of us can we say that we know and experience true peace? The baby's sick. The husband has lost his faith. Our mother has lost her job. Our daughter is struggling in school. Our wife is starting to show signs of serious illness. Our son is suffering from anxiety. Our friend with depression. The holiday season, Christmas time, is usually painted as this magical thing when everything is hot cocoa and warm blankets and peaceful bliss. That's not real. Christmas isn't always a season of peace. We like to play pretend, though, right? And say that it is. Let's be real. If you can't be real at church, you can't be real anywhere, I like to say. Christmas time can feel hectic. It can be busy. It can be soul-crushingly consumeristic. Our souls are going crazy. Our minds are running riot. Our emotions are all out of whack. And all sorts of past griefs, memories, moments are returned to the forefront of our minds. Sometimes we just need a little bit of peace. Sometimes we just need a little bit of peace in our lives, especially at Christmas. I know I do. And so do you, if you're being honest. We all do. Our world needs it. Just open your eyes. But what is this peace we need? What is peace? Well, to help figure that out, I dusted off my Hebrew dictionary from my graduate school days, and I got to work. In the Bible, the word peace can refer to an absence of conflict, but also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is shalom. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can reflect a stone that has a perfect whole shape, but no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall with no gaps or missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that is complex with lots of pieces that is in a state of completeness. wholeness. Shalom can refer to a person's well-being, like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield and asked about their shalom, their well-being. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations. When any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that is the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what is missing and restore it to wholeness. Shalom. It is the same thing with human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. When rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't mean they just stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Micah looked forward to a future king who would be our peace, our shalom. Isaiah also prophesied about him, calling him the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. This coming ruler, as Micah and Isaiah described him, would bring shalom with no end and begin a time when God would make a covenant of peace with God's people, make right all wrongs, and heal all that had been broken. Remember, Micah was prophesying in a time of great distress. He had no way to know but by faith that the promises of God were true. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of peace. Peace on earth and goodwill to all he favors, as the angels put it in Luke chapter 2. Jesus is fulfillment of the promise of God's peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that Jesus restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say in Ephesians that Jesus himself is our peace. Jesus is the whole complete human that we were made to be, but have failed to be. Now he gives us his life as a gift. That means that Jesus' followers are called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires justice and mercy and humility. See that echo of Micah 6:8? And patience and bearing with one another in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things on heaven and on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it is not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what is broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it is our lives, our relationships, or in our world. That is the rich biblical concept of peace, and it is only something that can be achieved with the coming of the King. We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. Earlier, I mentioned that today is Peace Sunday. But the breaking up of the four Sundays of Advent into hope, joy, love, and peace, that's a more modern development. The medieval church designed the four Sundays of Advent around the themes of the last four things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell, in that order, so that the subject of hell was preached on the Sunday just before Christmas Eve. It's a true story, look it up. You see, this was no accident. The idea was, and is, to show how the light of the birth of Christ appeared against a backdrop of darkness, depravity, and despair. Advent begins in the dark before the light shines upon us. In a few minutes, we're going to close our service with the singing of Hark the Herald Angel Sings. And I want you to take away this thought, as we sing together. The promise of Christmas is that the light shines in the darkness, and darkness will never overcome it. Shalom, God's peace, blots out the darkness. If Jesus is our peace, if he is our wholeness, then no power of hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. His is a peace that surpasses all understanding. So as we look to the coming of the Christ child, to be born in the middle of nowhere Bethlehem, let's hold on to the promise of God and welcome him with the angels. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of righteousness. Do you recognize these words? It's the third verse of Hark the Herald. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man, humanity, no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to the newborn King. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.